Not gonna lie, it has been one heck of a week in the news to prepare a first homily for. It just seems like so much that we've seen in our world is so broken in a way that we haven't seen it before. We've seen the brokenness of political systems, of law enforcement, legislation, of supply chains and the economy, of international diplomacy, the seeming brokenness of society writ large. As one commentator put it, this isn't the America, the world that we're used to. There's a lot of things that are seemingly out of our control, and that's anxiety-inducing. Fortunately, I'm not here to talk about any of that. I'm here to talk about what that does when it approaches us like a wall cloud of sin and misery, the dread that eventually cools into despondency. More importantly, I'm here today to talk about the sending of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate on this day, who is not a spirit of slavery to the brokenness of this world, nor a spirit of fear, but a spirit who reminds us that we have been adopted by the Most High God, that we are his beloved daughters and sons. Let us keep this in mind as we approach today's readings. Our first reading today is the classic story of Pentecost. Tongues of fire and roaring wind and speaking in tongues. It's the stuff of good Sunday school Bible storytelling. But there's a hidden meaning behind all of that divine shock and awe. It's just like way back in the Old Testament when on Mount Sinai, God revealed himself to Moses and to the Israelites. Fire, roaring wind, and then one prophetic figure emerging to reveal a new way of life to God's people. Except this time, instead of Moses revealing the law, we have St. Peter preaching the gospel to people from every nation, because now every people is God's people. This parallelism isn't just some biblical geekery. There's a profound message hidden for us in it. The Holy Spirit is a liberating force meant to lead us through the new Exodus into the promised land of eternity. What does he, the Holy Spirit, after all, as a person, free us from? In a word, he comes to free us from fear and sin, the fear of want, of loss, of pain, of embarrassment and rejection. And then, of course, behind all of those fears, we have that ultimate fear, the fear of death. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've had a bit more to remind us of these fears, to stoke those fears in the past couple of weeks. But the Holy Spirit comes to us to set us free from all of them. St. Paul tells us in our second reading that since Jesus has destroyed death by his resurrection and we are no longer bound by death, we no longer have to be afraid of those things in this world that can kill the body. If we try to find some kind of security in the things of this world, which is always changing, we will fail. And we will always be afraid because we know how easily everything can be taken away. But that's where God comes in. He is the only place where we can find true security, the only foundation worthy of having our lives built upon it. Every other foundation is just sand. And the Holy Spirit sets us upon the foundation of the Father's love for us and builds us up. He is the Spirit of adoption, through whom we cry not just Father, but Abba, Dad. There is an intimacy there with the Father. He is not far away from us. He's not tucked away at the far end of a throne room up in heaven. He's right where he wants to be, in our hearts. And even when we doubt that, the Holy Spirit is always there, whispering in our soul's ear, reminding us of God's love poured out for us on the cross. When St. Augustine comments on this passage from the Romans, he asks us, "Let everyone pay attention to their own hearts. Do you say, 'Father,' from the inmost depths of your hearts, with sincere charity?" So we start to think about that answer a little too hard. He goes on to reassure us. The question now is not how great that love is, large or small or medium. I'm asking only whether it is present at all. If it has been born, it will grow in secret, will mature by growing. And once perfect, will endure. Upon attaining maturity, it does not decline into old age and then decay. It matures and continues forever. That love, that trust, even in the midst of a world that sometimes seems like it is caught in its death throes, is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We don't even have to be strong enough to have faith in God on our own. He sends us the Spirit to strengthen us. What a sweet relief when we realize we don't have to muster up the faith to believe in a world that is so turbulent all on our own. We just have to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Our faith in the love of God does not release us from our responsibilities to the world. The Spirit also drives us out into the world, just as he sent Peter and the apostles out into Jerusalem on the first Pentecost. Clinging to God and the Spirit makes us more free to act in the world, not less. St. Paul promises us that we live in the Spirit if only the Spirit dwells in us. And if the Spirit dwells in us, then our spirit is alive because of righteousness. Notice the cause and effect here. Righteousness does not cause the Spirit to dwell in us. The Spirit dwelling in us causes righteousness. If first we receive the Spirit and allow him to lead us, he will transform us and we will find ourselves doing the right. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not have to be good enough for God. We do not have to earn his love. We do not even have to believe enough to be saved, as though we have to have faith before approaching God. When the world seems overwhelming, when we cannot even see the possibility for the light to overcome the darkness, we have only to say in the words of our sequence today, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." He will come to us and teach us our adoption in Christ. He will teach us how to believe even in the darkness of our world. And he will teach us how to walk joyfully with our God.